Hello, everybody, and welcome to eTech Muddy Boots, where we don't just talk about it, we stomp right through it. I'm your host, Melissa, and this is the show that gets down and dirty with everyday leaders who are making real change happen. We're not afraid to get our boots muddy because that's where the real stories are. So lace up, slip them on, step out, and join us as we trudge through the trenches of trust building and action taking, real action taking. If you are tired of all the talk and no walk, you're in the right spot. So let's get your boots ready. Let's lace up. Let's get muddy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to eTech Muddy Boots. Today, where we have two presidents. We have two presidents before us. We have the president of eTech Global Services and the new president of ETS Labs. No, Jim, we're not going to talk about that business today. Sorry, this is not the time for that. But what we are going to talk about is something that probably the topic that got you to the positions that you hold today, whether good or bad, because this is Muddy Boots. This is not where we just talk about other people in situations. We actually uncover what got our boots muddy in these situations and how we got stuck in the mud, how we walked through the mud, and sometimes how we threw mud on others and people threw mud on ourselves. So that's the topic. Today's topic is on feedback. Oh, sometimes, you know, I was told a long time ago that feedback was a gift. Have you ever received a gift before that you really didn't want?
All the
time.
You know,
the one that you give back every year? You know, you don't want that. Kind of like a gag gift. But
that's how White Elephant was created.
White Elephant Party.
That's how the White Elephant was created.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about feedback being a white elephant, and we're going to talk about it being the best gift we've ever received, where it just hands down from generation to generation. Because when you received a gift, I know I have something that was passed down from generation to generation from my family, and it's a cherished heirloom. And I think feedback can be the same way. When you get feedback in a certain way, you kind of cherish it, and we teach it to our children and or those that we love and lead, and they cherish that type of feedback as well. So I have some questions. I don't want arm wrestling going on here. We'll see who feels passionate. Maybe both of you want to answer the question. Maybe one of you want to take it. And we'll go. And you know what? All of our podcasters that are signed on, you know, jumping in the mud puddle with us today, this is probably the best podcast ever. Joe Rogan, you better be pulling up and listening to this. That's all I got to tell him, because we need to get our boots muddy. But all right, podcasters can give us some feedback on our episode of feedback. But I'm excited about this one. Here we go. Get our boots muddy. First question. Ooh, I like this one. That's why I got it first. Jim's already nervous. I can see him. What's the most uncomfortable piece of feedback you've ever received, and how did it change you?
I have so many. Let me go to the one that actually I didn't understand for about 10 years.
Okay.
So when I used to be, and I've been with Matt Rocco, as you know, our CEO, for 30-some years. And when we first started together here, he used to tell me, I said, I all the time, right? The I. And I'm like, you're wrong. I'm doing it because I am personally responsible, which is why I use the I. So then after years and years of him trying to teach me this, he finally came to me and told me why it should change. So I said, here's what you need to do. I said, when I do this, you need to start marking it and giving it to me. So we go into meetings together. It started at once to be a little sticky note, which then turned into a half a sheet of paper. How many times I would say I. And it was the most uncomfortable for me, because I really believe in my heart, if I promise to do something, I am saying I am going to do it and I'm accountable. And it took me probably 10 years to realize the humility part of it's not about I, eTech is bigger than I. That was probably the most uncomfortable one I had.
Okay.
But now that I see it years later, I understand it now. And I never understood it before, because I thought I was doing the right thing by saying, I own this and I promise you I'll get it done.
Your I to we ratio. You were working on that I to we ratio. That's awesome. Kayleen?
That's got to be hard. Because there is the I and IU.
I know. I could have used that. See, Kayleen, I needed you back then.
No, this is supposed to be for help. This is not
sorry.
Fuel to his fire. Matt, don't listen to this podcast. All right. What about for you, Kayleen? So have you ever received some uncomfortable feedback? And did it change you?
Yes. I received feedback that I was defensive.
Okay.
And I dismissed it. I dismissed it. Maybe it was the source. I don't know. And I received it in work, and I received it outside of work. Yeah. Actually, even in a marriage group, it bubbled up, and I had to be like, okay, I'm hearing it from all these places. Yeah. There must be something to this. And I didn't understand. I like how Jim said that, but I didn't understand at the time that I just wasn't owning it. I wasn't receiving it because I wanted to justify or explain.
Yeah.
And what I learned is it's okay just to receive it. Like just take it and say, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Or thank you.
Yeah.
and just receive it so people feel understood, and not everything needs to be justified. Not everyone cares. They don't care the why.
No.
I just need you to take it, own it, fix it.
That's real muddy feedback there. And when I say muddy, I mean muddy in a good way, because you were getting mud thrown at you professionally and personally. Right. Yeah. And you just have to let the mud, you know, get on you sometimes. You know, you guys have heard me talk about the difference between playing tennis and catch. And I think when we're getting feedback, it reminds me of the game of tennis. When the goal of tennis is for what? When the ball is coming at you in tennis, what are you supposed to do?
Pop it back.
Right. And you want to hit it back so hard that that ball doesn't come back to you. Right. And I think that's what, if we're all being real in the mud, I think that's what we do with feedback that we don't want to hear. We hit it back so hard that person never wants to play us again, right? They're so intimidated by us, or that ball was coming back at them so fast and furious that they, you know, there's no way they could have a response to what we say. And, you know, we sometimes brag about it to other people, like, oh, they had nothing to say after I told them this, you know, that type of stuff. So I think we try to win the game of reacting like a tennis player. And I think what both of you said, Matt, taking the feedback from someone that you love and admire, which was Matt, and him, and being in a real life situation where you had to count your eyes, like someone documenting it. And then Kayleen, for you to hear it from the person you love most in your marriage situation. I think those two married together really shows that feedback is powerful. And sometimes you get mud in your eye, you know? We're going to see how many muddy boots analogies we can use in here today. That's what we're going to try to do. So we'll leave it up to the podcasters. They may have some more tags they can put on the muddy boots. All right. Now, this is a good one. Are you ready?
Ready.
Get ready. Okay. Do you think that people are more afraid of being disliked or being wrong?
I would.
Go ahead.
Jim, I'll take it.
Go ahead.
I have to say, I don't think either one.
Okay.
I think what people really are afraid of is rejection.
Okay.
At the heart, we all want to be approved of. Like, it's a deep personal need. And for some people, maybe it would be disliked. Maybe some people it would be wrong. But at the root of it, if you're really going deep into the mud, you're going to see it's based on a fear of being rejected or not approved of.
Look, did you hear the analogy of deep in the mud that she just threw in there? Are y'all paying attention to that? And I think that's the truth, because that's where you start getting the hurt, and then you get the reactions, right? You get the reactions from the hurt. What about you, Jim? What do you think?
I agree, Kayleen, 100%, with one caveat. I think there's another reason besides rejection. I think it's because people are afraid they're not what they think they are.
Mm.
Right? Because some people really believe they're awesome salespeople, as an example, right? They're really not. So when you're giving them that, that's really what I think sometimes they're afraid of, if that makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, like when you have an amazing coach,
yeah,
their team loves them. Team loves them. but your results are terrible. So your coaching's not effective. And then, but because everybody likes that person, they're not listening to that other stuff because everyone loves them.
Ah, yeah. Very unique.
They have a fear of imposter syndrome, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's a good one.
And that's that's very real too. That's very real too. And you know, if I think about these, I know both of you like to cook. I think I've eaten something that both of you have cooked before, but
who's,
you know,
better? Can I ask? Is that bad to ask?
That's what I'm about to say. I'm about to give. That's about the muddy boots we're about to talk about. What's real on the in this mud puddle? But you know how these they have these cooking shows where like just like an ordinary chef will go on these shows and they get feedback on how their food is and their whole and then they it gets really hurtful sometimes on some of that feedback. And I see what both of you are saying. They don't want to be rejected as just a family cook, and the other one is just they maybe their family loved their food, but not anyone else loves their food. You know what I'm saying? And that's the fear of, you know, what Jim was talking about of thinking you're really better than what you are. You're not really as good at it, and you're not used to hearing that because your family's built you up all these years. Okay, we're pushing.
That's where you get your value from?
Yeah,
right? but that falls through, crushes you.
Yeah,
you didn't answer who's the better cook. I'm sorry. Did I miss that?
You know what? Let me say this, and I'm not on giving everybody a trophy, but I had guacamole from Kayleen. It was the best
Kayleen's
guacamole I've ever had.
I've had that. It is.
And we already know what I'm about to say with you. The gym steak.
Actually, they've been named the Melissa steaks.
Yeah, it is like seriously melt in your mouth. And it's now when I go places and get it, I have a bad face when I take a bite of it. So I can't even eat it anywhere else. Okay.
I'm hungry right now.
Now this one's going to this is going to have you dig deep, like Kayleen said, with a shovel in this mud puddle. Okay. Because there is a difference on feedback, right? There's feedback that serves you and there's feedback that breaks you. What in the world's the difference?
You receive it? Maybe. I don't know.
Feedback that serves you and feedback that breaks you. What do you think the difference is?
Well, I think there's two things. Okay. So if you get two emails that hit your inbox at the same time, let's call it. And one says you just left this meeting and one person says you're arrogant. And the other person says, hey, you cut the customer off at 2 minutes and 14 seconds. Here's a better way to do it. Which one am I going to listen to better?
Yeah.
Right. So I think it is about how you receive it, but it's got to be behavior-based. I mean, you know, we're all about behaviors. The rules should be really simple. If it names a behavior and shows a pattern and next steps of how you can fix it, it serves me. If it only attacks my character, it's just noise to me.
This is mud gold. This is mud gold right here. You gave
by the way, that's in this book.
Oh my gosh. He plug the book. He plugged the book.
I did plug the book.
He figures out a way to pull the book out of the mud every time. So those are three steps. So podcasters, definitely if you're taking notes, he just gave you a three-step process to not letting feedback break you, but serve you. So if you're giving feedback, make sure it names the behavior. Make sure that when you're given the feedback, there's a pattern of that behavior and there's next steps to correct the behavior, right? And I really like that because it shows a pattern. My husband's been exercising a lot lately and there was a young man that apparently drove past him going, in his words, you know, 300 miles an hour down the road. And he's like, I'm going to address that young man. And I said, how often do you walk? He said, I walk every day. And I said, how often has that young man blown past you going 300 miles an hour? He said, today. How many times has a man drove past you? And he said, he drives by every day. You're going to address it for one time that he drove past you going 300 miles an hour. So if you're looking at Jim's three-step feedback, that's not a pattern of behavior that we address, right? You're looking for patterns of behavior. So that's wonderful. Kayleen, anything you want to add to that?
I think it depends on the intention.
There you
and
go.
How we receive it. And so, like in Jim's first example, you know, was that an intention to hurt? Yeah. You know, because we're just like with the tennis ball, right? Like using your tennis analogy, it was like a whack at him. But the other one was an intention to help. And I think a lot of that comes with relationship too, because I've tried to give feedback to someone and it was more about what I needed or what the company needed and really not what they needed. What would add, putting it in a way that helped them see the connection to helping support what they were trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Wow. That, you know, you guys want to jump back in the mud with me again another day? This, you're doing a bang up job in the mud here. I think this is such a powerful topic. We can talk about giving feedback, but man, we've all received feedback that felt like it broke us because it wasn't there to serve us. And now I think about the feedback that you've given in this past 48 hours to anybody. Okay. So even our podcasters that are on here, any kind of feedback you would have given someone, was it feedback to break them personally or was it feedback to serve them and not your own needs or your company's own needs? Was it to serve that individual? So I think that's really powerful. I just have a few more questions and I'll let you guys go be presidents of the presidents.
Outstanding.
Okay. Cause I know y'all got to be. All right. What's one truth? We're not playing two truths and a lie here, so don't get ready for it. But I want to know, what's one truth about yourself that you were blind to until someone finally told you? And how did that moment shift your life? And Jim, you have to use a different example except for the eyes. Okay, so what's one truth that you were blind to until someone told you? And how did it shift your life?
So I would say don't measure people's work against their leader's work, meaning the best of the best, right? It should be against the scope of what they're supposed to do. It's an unfair comparison to tell someone they're lazy because they don't work as hard as you. Because they're not at the same level of you. And I've been in this bunch of times where my expectations, you know, I have a genius working for me who personally is perfectionist. I think that's you shouldn't be a perfectionist, because if you're a perfectionist and trying to make your team be perfectionist, you're going to miss deadlines, miss dates and gates, and you're going to burn out your team. So I think you have to be a little bit different in the way you measure what your people are doing. Because like I tell everybody, you should have my job then if you're that perfect, right? I mean, it just have fun. Right? But like, you know, that's where I think that's one of the truths that I've learned. And I've seen people leave because of burnout. And there really shouldn't have been a burnout, but because that leader might have been this perfectionist looking for perfection. Perfection doesn't exist. I'm not perfect. I make 80 decisions a week, right? If I'm 70% of the time, it's been a great week.
That's that gambling approach. That's that gambling approach to that. I knew you were going to have your dice in your hand. I knew you were going to have your dice. Some people have fidget spinners. Some people have stress balls, and he's just got dice in his hand. All right, Kayleen, what do you think? What was something for you?
Something that I was blind to? Because a lot of feedback I get, I know it in my heart, right? But one thing that hit me, and I was like, really? How could this? No. First was feedback that came like in a 360 thing, and from peers and my team. And it was that I was to be condescending. And it hurt my heart, because my intention is never to be condescending. I don't even think that I know enough to say something, you know, that should be condescending, could be condescending. Like it really hurt my heart, because it's not who I am as a person. And I had to like look at everything, like, what did I say? What am I doing? How am I communicating? And I really had to examine, and how do I respond to things? And think about how would that be viewed as condescending, and change my approach. So instead of, you know, sometimes asking people to repeat themselves, or why would you do it that way? That can sound condescending, even just asking someone that question. just come at things with more of a curious, you know, mindset. And it's been something I'm still working on, because I want to make sure absolutely, that no one ever views me that way.
Wow. That, you know, this is, you're the kind of people I want to stand in the mud with, because you, you heard that little, I'm getting good at this. I really am when I talk about this. But when you, both of you share the same word, both of you share the same word, and that word is willing. You're willing to hear the feedback, right? Even though you don't like it, or you might play tennis with it a couple of times, and maybe someone's brave enough to hit it back at you again. You know, maybe they're trying to hit it at you a different way, or you play another opponent and they hit the same ball towards you. And, you know, you're both very competitive. You're well experienced standing in this mud, but you do have that one word that is, you're like, you know, identical twins. You're willing to hear the feedback, right? And I think that in these situations that you've outlined, you were willing to hear it and pay attention to it and do something with it. So I think that's really powerful. And if the rest of us standing in this mud would learn from that and lead from that place, I think that we would have more powerful relationships if we could do that. Okay.
Yeah. Melissa, can I just add that I want to make sure that no one walks away from a conversation with me thinking that I think I know more than them, because I'm learning from everyone in this company and our customers. Jim set me up, you know, to have meetings with our vendors, our customers, you know, meeting with our teams. And I just learn so much every day all around me. So it's...
Let me tell you where this podcast is different. Maybe then, I know Jim's been on 10,000 podcasts, and when I say muddy boots, because we speak very real here in this conversation, and I'm going to talk about something briefly that maybe both of you don't have experience in, but it is in the hunting world. Okay, in the hunting world, are y'all ready for it?
I'm
yes,
ready.
Jim. I have trees.
By the way, the sausage is unbelievable. I'm telling you, I'm a big fan.
Okay, good. I'll have to get you some more. But in the, you said that you don't want to leave conversations where people think you know more. And then Jim mentioned that definitely he has to understand that people are at different levels. So this is why I'm bringing up the hunting world. In the hunting world, you have to, in order to go hunting, you have to take a course called Hunter's Education. All right, there's an actual course that you have to take before you can even go out in the woods and enjoy being an outdoorsman or outdoorswoman. All right, and in that course, they teach you that there are levels to being a hunter or a huntress. Mm-hmm. So what I may go out in the woods and I say, I want to shoot that deer, right? It may be this big. Does that make sense? Because I may be at a level one or two. But my husband that's been hunting for 50 years, right, he may be at a level five. So when he sees something that I see, he would pass that up every single day. And he would wait for something a little more aggressive, all right? So there are different levels, and that's based on experience and knowledge and all those things. When I go hunting with him, I don't treat him like, oh, you think you know everything. I respect the fact that he's a level five, and I respect the fact that I'm a level one. And what's real in the mud in a professional environment is when we walk into a room, this is why this podcast is different. I don't expect all of us to be on the same level, and I don't expect you to pretend that you're on the same level as me in corporate America, because you guys have much more experience than some people sitting at that table. And then you also need to recognize someone like Jim mentioned, like a Matt Rocco, that may be at a level five, that's led and lead, you know, those types of things. So I think it would be really smart for us in the woods to look at this like we do in the outdoors in corporate America, that when we walk in a room and we get on a call, there are people at different levels and we respect that. So if you're in the mud and you're like, I've been in a meeting with Kayleen and she thinks she knows everything, let's first acknowledge what level you might be at and what level she might be at. And I'm not talking about titles. I'm not talking about position or money that she makes. I'm talking about experience in the outdoors. Okay? And that's what makes a difference. And that's what makes a difference in this podcast, because we're not passing out. Jim's going to love it. He'll want to be on this podcast forever. We're not passing out gold medals to everybody. But I think all of us... I think all of us are well served when we listen to this podcast to understand we are being ignorant to our own self to think we walk in and we're in the same level. All right. We are at different levels. Okay. Bonus question, and I'll let you go. Like, lead the world. You ready?
Ready.
Okay. What would your younger self have done with feedback that you now finally understand?
So I'll start that one. So my mentor for decades taught me a long time ago before AI existed. By the way, what we used to call in the contact center industry, what you hear about AI, it's called big data, right? Treat feedback as raw data. And then you have to say, is it specific? Is it repeated? Is it actionable? And if the answer is yes, it's gold.
Okay.
Right? That's what I wish I knew decades ago when I learned all this stuff. But it took me, I'm a slower learner as most people. As you know, Matt will tell you.
If young Jim knew that, I cannot imagine having a conversation with young Jim that knew that. And let me go ahead and highlight, you mentioned someone that you are around that is a genius, right? And that you admire so much. And I know that you were talking about Kelsey, your wife. I just know that.
Absolutely. 100%.
I'm just 100%. Trying to protect you there. That's who I knew you were talking about. All right, Kayleen, what would your younger self have done with feedback that you now finally understand?
I think that young Kayleen could have, seek first to understand.
Okay.
You know, there's always a reason for something. It's important to be curious and understand why do people do things they do. I remember even when I first came to eTech, I'm like, this is dumb. Why do we do this? You know, I was thinking about directors doing invoices. This is like something simple, you know, like that's, you know, not the job of a director. And I didn't understand things, and I didn't understand why we did things, and I didn't seek first to say, okay, well, why do we do it this way? Because obviously there were people making decisions that had great experience and they were doing, you know, things for a reason and being successful at it, by the way.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Those are really powerful. Well, thank you, President.
Thank you.
Talking about feedback today. This was awesome. This was very fun. Thank you for putting your rubber boots on, jumping in the mud puddle with me and talking about real world things for real leaders and people that are leading and loving in real life. Until next time, we'll see you on the eTech Muddy Boots. Thank you.
Thank you.